This is Ozarks at Large. We continue now with highlights from a conversation recorded at the Carver Center for Public Radio late last month. Terry Bankston, the executive director for Engage NWA, and I asked guests to talk about their experiences in Northwest Arkansas. Our guests included two residents of Rogers, Niru Raghavan and Daniel Gooden, and DeAndre Jones of Fayetteville. While our roundtable was far from a comprehensive representation of the population in the region, we did have different backgrounds represented. And we wanted to know what kind of conversation our guests wanted to hear in the future to make Northwest Arkansas more cohesive.
The word confrontation means, my pastor at one of the cities I lived in, we had a conversation about confrontation, and he said, Terry, if there's a crack in the wall and you take spackle and spackle it over and paint over it and it gets back to the same color, you haven't really confronted the issue. Mm-hmm. Because something behind the wall is making the wall crack. Mm-hmm. And if it's in the ceiling, it could be a pipe, it could be something. Mm-hmm. So if you don't cut the round the crack, get up and see what's causing it, and then fix the pipe, and then, mm-hmm. because you confronted that issue, mm-hmm. and then come back and paint the, and spackle and replace the tile, then you know that you've addressed the issue. And it's the same way with when you have disagreements or you have questions, that if you don't get to the root of it, mm-hmm. then you're automatically just covering up what it is.
Yep.
And so I make a point that I ask as many questions as I need to. I don't assume anything because I want to get to the root of, and it could be even the smallest things. And mm-hmm. having been a parent, I have to get to the root of some issues that may happen when my son was younger. And my sons, you know, you ask questions, then you go to the source, which might be a teacher or someone on the playground, and find out what really happened, which made them get to that point of having that confrontation. And as we get older, we need to make that designation on, did we really solve something here, or did we just get by? And so that's what my word confrontation means. And it's not I don't take it in a negative connotation. I think confrontation can be healthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if we look at it as healthy, instead of thinking that we know all and have the answers to everything.
I go back and forth between, well, whose responsibility is that, though? Right?
Absolutely.
Like, as a white woman, it's my responsibility because I have the privilege. Full stop, and I have the power. And that is the way I feel, right? And so I'm happy to answer people's questions. And I understand that sometimes you don't know what you don't know. But at the end of the day, it is not someone who's marginalized responsibility to teach me why I shouldn't believe X, Y, or Z. It's my responsibility as a white woman, and that's really the way I feel. And I know people haven't been raised the way I've been raised and haven't had the experiences that have sort of led me to this maybe epiphany or whatnot. But at the end of the day, what I get scared when we say, well, we have to teach them. But is it the marginalized community or the community that doesn't feel like they belong's responsibility to teach the oppressor or to teach the community that maybe is creating a system or barriers or a culture that excludes people, right? And so I think it's a very delicate balance of who takes on what role and what responsibility at what time.
That's a great point, and that brings me to this point. I remember 2015, when we started talking about Black Lives Matter, and it went, so many people had so many different variations on what it truly meant. So I had a conversation with members of Compassion Fayetteville, and I had a conversation with some of my own people, and I said, listen, it may be unfortunate, and it may not be something that you want to do, but this is an opportunity, I believe, as an African American, to provide the real reason and to dispel the myth, mm-hmm. what the movement is about. So what we did, we were able to create a very educated conversation based on what the movement is all about. So it's unfortunate, but I do believe that if we're wanting to achieve inclusion and if we're wanting to get to a place of equity, and cohesion, we've got to make that sacrifice and sometimes give of ourselves as it relates mm-hmm. to educating others to obtain that bigger picture. Now, because of that conversation, everyone's not everyone's not still 100% on board, but they can't, those who attended can honestly say that they've been educated by some very, very credible individuals, a political science and African American history professor, a civil rights judge. All of the information was there, so they when they left, they were empowered. Now they know the truth. Now it's up to those attending to do something with it. So it's unfortunate, but as minorities and as marginalized individuals, we have to sometimes educate others on the path to cohesion.
Let me ask this. Do you think we, the big we, wants cohesion?
I think it all depends. Mm-hmm. I think it depends on what's the return of investment. A lot of people realize that diversity and inclusion and cohesion is profitable. With businesses, there's so much research that explains or that reveals when companies are diverse and when they are inclusive, what the return of investment is. I think when it's politics, politicians are fully aware that all votes matter. But I do believe that in Fayetteville locally, based on the history of Fayetteville, I think that Fayetteville's efforts are really genuine, and I do believe that we are in the learning stage because from 1970 up until 2015, the African American population has grown over 600%. So that's fairly new, but Fayetteville has adjusted quite well based on African American still being a vast minority. So I believe that it all depends. It depends on who you're talking to. It depends on what's happened. And that's unfortunate because we don't know what the real motives are until sometimes it's too late.
So what would it look like? What do you think it would take for this region to be more cohesive?
Education, a true desire, and a real benefit. And when I say a real benefit, hearts will have to change. And I also want to mention the fact that our children, making sure that our children understand what cohesion is and the importance of it.
I think people want peace, and peace is not cohesion. People want calm. They want tranquility. They don't want chaos. They don't want disruption. And that's why I think of late you've seen things like just peaceful marches where people are like, they're disruptive. What are they doing, right? Like, why are they doing that? You know, it disrupts this notion of peace that people want. And I've seen it even within my own generation now, trying to go back to your topic, which is, I think we're very complacent people. You know, we're America. We have an enormous amount of wealth. And this area in particular, low unemployment, 3 Fortune 500 companies are based here. There's a relatively small population. You have a very good public institution of higher education that is pretty cheap when compared to most institutions of higher education for its caliber in the country. And that creates an environment in which people are very spoiled. And I think it's hard in this environment because myself included, I've been here for over a year and I go back to New York now and I'm like, oh my God, the traffic and you know, the this and the that, and everyone's cursing at me. No one curses at me in Arkansas, right? Like, so just sort of, you know, you get swept up in this culture because life is easy here and it's peaceful. And I think talking about some of these issues and getting to real equity and cohesion means you have to break that peace, right? People have to feel uncomfortable and people have to sort of feel like they're moving out of their comfort zone. And I even find that within my own generation where here in particular, I have been a little bit anxious because in other places I've lived, I'd have more of an advocate community where people are ready to roll up their sleeves and go and fight and put themselves on the line. And here I don't have that as much here. So I find myself being like the broken record in the room where I'm like, I'm going to have no friends left by the time I leave here because I'm like, no, why do you shop in that store? They donate to bad causes and, you know, you should boycott them, you know? And so I think that for me has been hard where I sort of have felt like I'm missing that advocate piece. And I think that has something to do with the fact that I spend most of my time in the Bentonville-Rogers area. And so I try to come more down to Fayetteville where you do have more of that feeling. traveling down here to try to surround myself with more folks on the advocate side. But what I do think is that life is so easy here, and it doesn't matter what generation you're in, people become complacent and they like their life here, and I don't blame them. But that also means that they're not necessarily willing to have those hard conversations because life is good. So why try to ruin that?
I think that people do want cohesion, but they kind of want it on their own terms, right? And I think it's important for people to realize a couple of things. One, you have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, which isn't to say that you'll be uncomfortable forever, right? Once you get out of your shell, once you accept that, you know, maybe some of the traditions of your past will evolve into something different, then you can embrace others, right? And I think that's true in all cultures, right? I feel a little bad for people in Northwest Arkansas who moved here before a lot of the growth, right? They may have wanted to live in a small town where they would grow up with people they've known all their lives, and they'd all have kids, you know, relatively at the same time, and those kids would grow up knowing each other. And people in the area, you'd know everyone, you know, or you'd be a couple people removed. That's a lifestyle that people want, and I think it's a pity for people who wanted that lifestyle and then have seen the change. But I think it's also important for them, as well as everyone else, to see the potential benefits of the changes in this area and to recognize that, yes, there may be people you didn't grow up with all your life, but there's value that they can bring to you. Maybe you can sell them products, new products that you weren't able to sell before, or, you know, new markets for what you provide. You have to look for what the value those people can bring to you. And I think if you do, you can be more open to the idea of embracing all those people and being more cohesive as a community.
People paying attention to what's happening at the state level. I mean, as someone who's new here, quite frankly, that is the issue that makes me wonder how much longer I'll be here. I am watching HB this and HB that and what's going on in the Senate, and it is frightening. It is frightening if you're a woman. It is frightening if you're a person of color. It is frightening if you don't have a certain religious belief that you prescribe. And for me, cohesion is people who maybe would have some of those beliefs say, you know what, it's not my right to push those ideas or thoughts or in the form of legislation. So for me, getting closer to cohesion will be people who are in the majority who have the power standing up and saying, those pieces of legislation, what's happening at the state level, what's happening in some of our local levels is not okay. And in order to protect certain communities, we need to push back against it.
I actually would agree with both of them. I think education and awareness are so critical to creating cohesion in this community. Because I think that if you understand about a culture, a person, a topic, an issue or religion, whatever it is, and you then have the right to agree or disagree with it, right? But it's based on an actual knowledge of what it is. And too often, people don't educate themselves about things before they decide they disagree or agree with it. And so I think it's so important for us to have avenues for education, including in our public schools where the children are learning the foundations of things.
Absolutely.
They need to learn critical thinking so that they can assess what they're hearing and determine whether it makes sense, whether it's factual or it's not. I think it's important for adults to continue educating themselves, whether it's through participating in forums, you know, public forums, or participating in events that happen in this community. And I think awareness of what's going on in the community and awareness of what they're invited to join. You know, there's so many different events and festivals of all different cultures, including the Native Arkansas culture, right? Let's not forget that. Mm-hmm. Those are available to people, but you have to avail yourself of that. So I do think those things are very important.
Neeru Raghavan, Daniel Goonan, and DeAndre Jones were in the Furman Garner Performance Studio with Terry Bankston, the Executive Director of Engage NWA. Today's Ozarks at Large was produced in conjunction with Engage NWA. It's a desire to launch a series of programs with real people having real conversations. And we don't want the conversation to stop now. We want to use this space to have further discussions. And we'd like to know what you think we should address, who we should talk to, where we should go. You can send us an email at ozarksatlarge@gmail.com with your comments, your suggestions, your ideas, your criticisms. What should the next editions of Real People Having Real Conversations include? ozarksatlarge@gmail.com, and thanks.